All right. Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. It is, I guess it's the second day of spring. Is that right? So we are starting the book of Acts. Now, I know some of you out there in digital land thought we'd never finish 2 Corinthians, and I did my best not to finish it. However, we are done. And we ended with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship in the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we're going to take up the book of Acts, and we are not, to my great friend and colleague Dr. Jeff Kloa's dismay, we are not going to deal much with textual criticism. And the reason is because, as you probably know, there's this manuscript D in Acts is like 18% longer or something like that. It's really an interesting textual problem. And so there's sometimes there's lots and lots of stuff at the bottom of the page, so to speak. And everybody say hello to my younger son, Jesse. Everybody say hi, Jesse. That's right. He and his family are visiting. And we're going to take up Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and we're just going to stick mostly with the reading given in the critical edition, although even today there's going to be one variant that we'll take a look at. So so buckle up, get ready for lots of participles and interesting sentences. So, and I'll read verses 1 and 2, because at the very least it's a sentence, and I actually suspect the sentence goes through verse 3. But 1 and 2 would sound like this. Τον μεν πρώτον λόγον επωεισάμεν περί πάντων ο Θεόφιλα, χον ἐρχεσαι ὁ Ἰησοῦς ποιέν τε καὶ διδάσκειν, ακρι ἡς ἡμέρας εν τε λάμινας τοις αποστόλοις διὰ πνεύματος αγίου, χους εξ ἐλέξατα ὀν ἐλέμφθαι. You may be familiar with the term a period in Greek style. If you have a particularly long and elegant sentence, it's called a periodic sentence. It's just one of those terms, to be quite honest. I don't know why it's called that. Maybe because it takes you a long period of time to figure out how the heck it works. But Luke 1, 1-4 is certainly regarded as a very elegant Greek sentence. The opening verses here of Acts, a little less so, but it is relatively complex. So we start with a men construction for which there isn't really a de, so we won't even translate men. And our first verb is epoiesamen, which is, as you can probably figure it out, an aorist indicative middle of poieo. The lexicon doesn't really offer much nuance of meaning for the middle of poieo. It just sort of occurs sometimes. Of course, English speakers often want to give like almost a reflexive translation, I made for myself or something like that. We won't push that too hard. The direct object, of course, is in front, and our friend the article helps us. So on the one hand, well, we won't translate men. I made the first word, and here in context, logos probably means message. About all the things, peripanton, O Theophila, same addressee as in Luke. No one, of course, knows who Theophilus is. Is this a real person? Is it the benefactor who commissioned the writing of the gospel and paid for its production? I mean, there's all these kind of guesses. Nobody's quite sure. So I made the first account or word concerning all the things, O Theophilus. Now, hon is a relative pronoun, which, and it's attracted to the case of ponton. It should be accusative because it's the object of the infinitives poiein and didaskein, the things which Jesus began to do, okay? But it's genitive because its antecedent ponton is genitive, and this happens sometimes. We're pretty sloppy. I mean, English, we're very sloppy with, you know, pronouns or who did you say that to, instead of to whom did you say that. And Greek has some similar slippage like that. So, which Jesus began, and then, of course, our friend Archimai pretty much wants an infinitive to complete its thought. And here it gets two. Jesus began to do, te goes in front of poiein, it's postpositive, and teach. And the easy enough inference is that the Gospel of Luke is that first word. It's that first account of what Jesus began to do. So by implication, the book of Acts, as we know it, is what Jesus continues to do, right, and to teach. And you see it narrated as such. There's no doubt that the risen and exalted Lord Jesus is the power and the agent through the Spirit behind the events of the book of Acts. So Jesus hasn't gone away and stopped doing stuff. He continues to do and to teach. And I made that work about the things that Jesus began to do until which day. It's an odd word order, but Greek just sometimes does that. We would say until the day which. And here again, the heis, strictly speaking, probably should be dative, on which, dative of time when. But it's sort of messed in there with akri and hemeros and gets attracted over to being a genitive case relative pronoun. Until which day, now a participle from entelomai, which means to command. After he had commanded, and entelomai takes a dative, to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. Now, hus, masculine plural accusative, the antecedent has to be apostles, whom, now ek legomai, deponent, aorist indicative middle deponent, third singular, whom he chose, and now we finally get the second main verb, an elemphe, this is from analambano, which means to take up or receive up, and you can see the form, it's kind of a classic aorist indicative passive third singular. He was taken up. So, to clean up all of that, I made a first account concerning all the things, O Theophilus, which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which, after commanding the apostles whom he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, he was taken up. And it actually invites the question of what does dia pneumatas hagiu modify? Probably, I don't know. I suppose the participle. Or maybe it's the verb that follows. I don't know. But that's the way the sentence runs. And then it continues with a relative pronoun, but we'll stop there and get questions on verses 1 and 2. Like, why does Luke have to write this way? And the answer is, he's good, that's why. So, good. Questions, comments on verses 1 and 2? In English, it's a run-on sentence, and it's bad, correct. In Greek, he's just getting started. I mean, I had one semester of classical Greek about 100 years ago, and it was Xenophon's Anabasis, and all I learned was 900 different words for spear, you know. But I've read a little tiny bit of Josephus, and my goodness gracious, you ain't seen sentences until you've read Josephus. It's, oh my goodness, it goes on and on and on. So no whining when it comes to New Testament Greek. Good. Questions, comments? Okay. Verse 3. Hois kai par estesan heoton zonta. Zonta indeed. Meta ta pathen auton en polois tek me rios. Dehemeron tesserakanta aptanamenas autois kai legon ta perites basileas tu theu. So, again, they give us kind of a break there, but it's just a relative pronoun. I think the sentence continues. So, hois is, could be neuter, of course, but we'll take it as masculine plural dative. And the antecedent, again, is apostles. To whom, dative, also. This is from par istemi, and it means to be present, or in this case, it's transitive. He presented Hauton himself, next subsequent or predicate accusative, as living. And now we have meta plus the article plus the infinitive, translates just an idiom, after. And auton is the accusative case subject of the infinitive. Pathein is from pasco, by the way. It's the aorist infinitive active of pasco. The third principal part is epathon. So it's the active infinitive to suffer. After him to suffer, woodenly. And now n plus the dative here probably is instrument or means. And a tekme rios is a convincing proof. So he presents himself after his suffering as living in, with, by many convincing proofs. Now reach to the participle, five words down, uptanamenos. This is from uptanamai to, well, I don't think it's deponent, but to here in the middle voice, it means to be, to appear, right, to be visible. As he appeared to them through 40 days, and as he said, ta, the things concerning the reign of God. So, and by the way, this explains, along with the gift of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, this explains why the apostles are no longer idiots, right? The plan is done. Christ has risen, indeed. He has feet. He eats fish. And he spent 40 days in the greatest hermeneutics class in history. No, I'm quite serious. I mean, we pass over this verse, but, I mean, Jesus is not playing cribbage with these people. I mean, he is opening up the scriptures to them, and he's teaching them about the reign of God is what he's doing, which has now begun and which is moving in these latter days towards its fulfillment. By the way, Paul, at the very end in Acts chapter 28, he's preaching the Lord Jesus and teaching about the reign of God at the very end of Acts. So it's kind of like bookends. Okay, so one main verb in this long, it's kind of a long relative clause is what it is, to whom he presented himself, and then the participles, I didn't mention this, but they're both masculine singular nominative, so the referent would be the he of he presented himself, right? So he, Jesus, is the one who's doing the being visibling and the speaking. So, yeah, good. Questions, comments? All right. Very good. Let's see. Let's take now maybe four and five together. All right, kai syn halidzamenas par engelen autois apaiosalimon me korizestai. Allah perimenen tain epangelion tu patras hein ekusa tamu hati Ioannes men ebaptizen hirate humeste en pneumate baptistesesta hagio u meta polas tautas hemeras. Now, the second word in verse 4 is the one variant reading I wanted to point to. Synhalidzo means, and you might be able to guess this, it means to eat salt together. Halas is salt, and halidzo is to salt something. And synhalidzo is, the problem with that meaning here is that it's generally the thing that you do with a plural subject. And it's a singular participle, say. So the lexicon suggests that they take this as a passive participle, and they suggest that perhaps, as often happens with Greek verbs, in the passive voice, it can have a related active voice intransitive meaning. And they actually want to get it from eat salt together, which of course is to dine together, to just assemble or to gather, right? But again, it seems odd to people that the participle, because he, Jesus, is the one who's gathering, but there's only one of him, right? So if you look down at the critical apparatus in verse 4, the second reading is actually a different verb. It's sun aulidzomai. Sun aulidzomai. You see there's an upsilon in there. And this is actually a different verb. It doesn't occur in the New Testament anywhere else, but it means to dwell. See? So that's one way of trying to fix the problem, as he was dwelling, or something like that. So it's a little bit of a conundrum. It doesn't radically change the meaning of the verse. So we'll just kind of, maybe we'll take the variant reading just to make Dr. Kloa happy. And so, and as he was dwelling, par engelon, this is from par angelo, and it's an aorist indicative active, third singular, he charged to them from Jerusalem not to depart, not to be departed, not to koridzistai. So the simple infinitive there would be what? An object infinitive or perhaps indirect discourse. It's the content of what he charged. So not to depart, rather, perimenein, to await or wait for the promise of the Father, okay, which, now without warning, Luke shifts into direct discourse. See, he's been speaking in third person, and now all of a sudden it's second person plural, which you heard me or of me. And now we get a direct quotation in verse 5, which is, in this part, is easy enough, that, on the one hand, John baptized in water, but you, emphatic, in the Spirit, snatch holy on the other side of the verb, in or with the Holy Spirit, will be baptized, baptisthesis the, ou meta palas tautas hemeros, not after many these days. Or, in other words, pretty soon, right? Luke actually likes, as far as I know, he's the only New Testament writer that uses the figure of speech called litates, or as they say in Arkansas, litotes. That was kind of a southern, no, they say that in rural Virginia, Ruth, litotes, because you're a Virginian, right, originally?
Yes.
Yeah, you told me that, that's right. It's a kind of an emphasis by understatement. So Luke says, for instance, in Acts 15, leading up to Jerusalem Council, he says, there was no little debate. See? So not after many days means pretty soon, right? It's kind of a figure of speech, and I just wanted to show off that I knew what it was called. So that's because that's what's important in Greek Club, is to show off just a little bit. So, questions, comments on verses 4 and 5? Yeah, Dan?
Your explanation, eat salt.
Yeah, to eat salt together with.
It has more sense to
it. Yeah, yeah.
It's more like together.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's interesting. All the commentaries, at least the ones I happen to glance at, discuss this. And, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right. Right, so yeah, and right, yeah. In those days, I mean, salt even could be currency. There are some. I mean, I think Roman soldiers could be paid in salt. Exactly. Yeah, salary comes from that. Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's where you get the he's worth his salt.
Exactly. Right. 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 Yeah, Jess. I don't know if it's common, but it does occur, actually. Yeah, yeah, which is why you have to parse or die, right, to know what goes with what. Yeah. There's actually another example of that, and, of course, the only reason I know this is because it's in Matthew. Yeah, maybe we'll stop with this. Look at Matthew chapter 1. And I know this because it kind of trips up students sometimes. Matthew 1, verse 20. But it's the same kind of thing. Verse 20, after he had pondered these things or decided these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, according to a dream, appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, And here it comes, four, the having been ganaod in her child, ek pneumatos estin hagiu. See, there's, you've got spirit and holy with the verb in between the two. So it's this, and maybe this only happens with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But we should not conclude from this that the Holy Spirit can be divided or something like that. That would be called dumb exegesis. So, okay, well, that gets us at least through verse 5, which is a good start. So thank you very much.